It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're studying in the book of John in chapter 13. And I made mention in our last study how that the Lord's Supper was being about to be instituted by our Lord in chapter 13. Well, we actually see the beginning of it. And we read many things there. We read about Judas Iscariot, that he would betray the Lord. And he was there having supper with the Lord and the other apostles. But the Lord's Supper, what we call the Lord's Supper, had not been instituted yet. And we read as we study the scriptures that before the Lord's Supper took place, I'm talking about where he broke the bread and they took the juice and drank it after the Lord blessed it. Judas had already gone. He had left. And we'll read about that in just a moment. But if you want to read in connection with this, you'll see that this is actually the time when the Lord instituted his supper. You go back and you read Matthew chapter 26 and you read about the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. Luke chapter 22 also talks about it. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And you read these sections of scriptures and you'll see that as we compare those scriptures with John chapter 13, we'll see that the same indication here is that the Lord's Supper was about to take place. We do not read of it in chapter 13. We only read of the beginning of it. And this does not mean that there's a discrepancy in the scriptures. This simply means that John was reporting a certain aspect of the beginning of the Lord's Supper here and that who would betray the Lord. And also we see in this chapter how that the Lord took it upon himself to be a servant here. And he's always been a servant. And as he was the servant here, he washed the feet of the apostles. And many people will take this as an ordinance of the Lord, just as they take the Lord's Supper as an ordinance of the Lord. But nowhere does it tell us in the scriptures that the Lord told us to do this. We see the instance here where the Lord was the only one who washed the feet of the apostles. The apostles didn't wash his feet. They did not wash each other's feet. Jesus washed their feet. And as you study about the Lord's Supper, the ordinance there, the Lord's Supper, how that he told us that we are to do this in remembrance of him. And we do show his death till he comes. Nowhere does it tell us that we're to wash each other's feet to show his in remembrance of him, or that we're to do that until he comes. Nowhere does it show the apostles washing each other's feet or the Lord's feet, once again, as I remind you. So therefore, as I read and study the scriptures, I see no evidence there that those of us who are saved are to wash each other's feet. And might I say that should be something that's done at your own home, that you're to take care of that yourself. It's the Lord was showing us that we should be servants, not simply to wash people's feet, but we are to be the servants of his servants, and we are to serve others as we live in this world. We are the children of God, those of us who have trusted the Lord as Savior, and we're to be servants not only of him, but we're to be servants of our fellow Christians and servants of our fellow man in this world. Well, we pick up our study in John chapter 13, and notice verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, speaking about washing now, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not to save wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. Speaking of Judas Iscariot not being clean, he's speaking here of salvation. People who are saved, they're cleansed all over. In other words, the sin is gone. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Well, how is that blood applied? It's applied when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The blood takes away the sin, past, present, and future. No sin will enter into heaven. No sin will go to rapture the church to be with the Lord. No sin will be there. And how is that possible? Because Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. Now notice here, he said, but not all of you are clean in verse 10. In verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. And of course, we know he's speaking of Judas here. And verse 12 goes on to say, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know you what I have done to you? You call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Now, this is not speaking of physical washing here. This is speaking, once again, he's trying to let these people know, these apostles know, that they are to be servants. For I have given you an example. He said, I've given you an example. And that's exactly what the washing of the feet was. It was an example of showing humility, that you should do as I have done to you. He was being a servant. He was showing these apostles that he was not above washing their feet. He was not being above being a servant to them. Verse 16, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Jesus Christ came into the world. He was sent by the Heavenly Father. He was not greater than the Heavenly Father. Why? Because he's equal with God. And we see this as we've been studying the book of John, how that the scribes and Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus Christ because he made himself equal with God. He kept telling people, I came from the Father. The Father and I are one. He said many things about he and the Father being one person. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Son came to glorify the Father. In verse 16 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is greater sent me greater than he that sent me. Jesus Christ is not greater than God the Father. God the Father is really not greater than Jesus. God the Father is not greater than the Holy Spirit. They're all one. They cannot be greater than themselves because they're all one. But Jesus Christ came in submission to God the Father, in the sense that God the Father had sent him to do the job. And you know what that job was. I keep telling you, he came to seek and to save those who were lost. Verse 17 of John 13. If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. In other words, be in submission. Be ready to serve other individuals in this life. Do what Jesus did as he walked this earth. He was in submission to God the Father. And you and I, who named Jesus as Savior, we're to be in submission to him, and we're to do as he would have us to do. And as he did, he was a servant to mankind. And we also need to be servants of people, beginning with telling others about Jesus Christ. Notice verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. He knew that Judas Iscariot, and we're getting ready to read that, he knew that Judas Iscariot was the one who would betray him. How did he know that? He's God. He knew that Judas was going to be the one who sold him and to betray him to the scribes, Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, and the high priest, and all of that would transpire of him going to the cross. He knew that Judas Iscariot was going to identify him as the one they were looking for, that they wanted to kill. Verse 19, now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. In other words, he's saying that I am the one that's going to be lifted up. We read about this. I am the one that's going to be lifted up, he said, and I will draw all men unto me. He's telling them that he is the one. He is the one who has been sent of God to die on the cross of Calvary. Verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. We sometimes get in our minds that we're serving ourselves. You say, well, what does that mean? Well, sometimes we forget that Jesus has sent us, that he has sent us on a mission, just as the Heavenly Father sent him on a mission. Jesus has sent us on a mission as saved people. We are ambassadors for Christ. And as ambassadors for Christ, we are representatives of him. We are representatives of heaven. And just as the Father sent him, Jesus is sending us to carry on the job of telling people about him. Verse 21, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He didn't want Judas going to hell. He didn't want Judas to betray him, but he knew that Judas would betray him. Now, this is called the foreknowledge of God. Some people call it predestination. Well, predestination of some people says that God's going to save some and some's going to be lost because he did not choose some to be saved. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. He's already said in our study here how that if he be lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Now, it's sad that all won't be saved, but all people have an opportunity to be saved. So don't believe that lie from the pit of hell that God's only going to save the ones he wants to save. He wants to save everybody. All the people, sad, all people won't be saved. But Jesus Christ is the Savior. Thank God for those of us who are saved. We'll see Jesus one day personally. Verse 21 again, let's read that. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit. He was troubled. He doesn't want anybody going to hell. And testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. He didn't want this man to die and go to hell. Verse 22, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. They said, well, I wonder which one of us is it? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. This is Peter now. He's motioning to the one laying on the breast of Jesus. And he said, it's like he's saying, look, ask him. Find out who it is that's going to betray him. Who is it? Verse 25, he then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? The one who was lying there, and we believe it's John. John was there, and he said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? He had seen what Peter wanted to ask, or he had heard it, and so he asked the Lord. Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Well, the sop is a morsel. That would be some bread. He gave it to Judas Iscariot. But these apostles, they didn't understand exactly what was going on here. Verse 27, it says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. After Jesus had given Judas Iscariot this morsel of bread, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Jesus was ready to be offered on the cross of Calvary. And he told Judas, he said, what you're about to do, do it quickly. Verse 28 says, now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. We'll pick up here where we're leaving off now, and we'll continue next time, and we'll talk about Judas Iscariot and other things that transpires just before the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Serve him today. Get saved today. If you are saved, you need to be looking to the Lord daily to take care of you and watch over you. Why? Because he will, and he does.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.